Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, it's a Trash Tuesday. So coming your way at 40 minutes past the hour. We'll do some trashings. It's the trashing season. So if you've got anything you want to get off your chest, if you have anybody you want to vent about, anything you want to vent about, do it for us. Coming up at 40 minutes past the hour at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll read them here on the show. DA on CBS is the Twitter handle. Remember, you can watch the show as well on your phone at watchda.com. That'll work on your PC, your laptop, your tablet, or on your smart TV. Watch the show and the simulcast going on as we speak every single day at watchda.com. So the NFL hands down its suspension to Gronk. He gets one game. And this isn't really that big a deal. In fact, you know it's going well for your team when I read this headline and this story from a Boston media member. Losing Gronk for Dolphins game could be a silver lining. In other words, we know we're going to beat him anyway. So let's see if Brady can kind of figure out some other ways to score a ton of points and other touchdowns. It's so taken for granted the Patriots on the road in the division will win easily that losing Gronk is like, yeah, let's enhance the degree of difficulty. Do I think the NFL got this right? No. I don't. Last night was brutal. Last night was vicious. Steelers and Bengals, it was like a body bag game. And let's all pray that Ryan Shazier is able to walk again, has all the feeling in his extremities, is able to use all of his limbs, because there is nothing that guts me more in football than guys that lose the power to walk by playing it. Last night was a ferocious game with a lot of injuries. And we're learning more and more about the severity of head injuries, long-term ramifications, concussions, brain trauma. There is an inherent violence in football that you can try to eliminate and you can try to legislate out, but we all know you can't eradicate it all. It's a collision sport. Juju Smith-Schuster. It's a dirty hit. He comes up, his face mask and helmet cracks into Vontaze Burfict's face mask and helmet. But the worst, most egregious part of that is not the actual hit, because guys are zooming around the field, flying at one another at 100 miles an hour, crashing into one another to win a football game, to earn themselves a salary. The most egregious part of that is clearly the taunting. Because Vontaze Burfict could have suffered a significant head injury, brain trauma on the play. He was down for how many minutes after that and had to be obviously worked on by the staff. And Juju is standing over him, barking and taunting. The worst part of the violence in the NFL is not always the hit. It's the ignorance around the hit. And that's why Gronk's play was the dirtiest in the NFL this season. That's why Gronk's play is actually more disgusting than anything you see in real time, than any type of hit. That sounds weird. Kiko Alonso smashing into Joe Flacco. Last night, Juju on Vontez. These things feel more vicious. But in reality, these are guys competing on a small field in a small box at high speeds in a collision sport. I'm not absolving them of blame, but I'm saying Gronk gets up after the football play and throws 6'5", 265 into the back of the head of a player that's not looking. Tre'Davious White is not competing on the play anymore. Tre'Davious White is not in a collision moment. Tre'Davious White, that's not within the lines. That's not during the snap. That is 6'5", 265, coming down as a sledgehammer into the back of somebody's head as they are laying prone on the ground and suffer a concussion from it. Let's fast forward this a little bit to 20 years from now, where Tre'Davious White perhaps starts going through massive bouts of depression. Had only a couple of years career in the NFL. Went through a dark time. Ends up going through such a dark time, takes his own life. And we realize he was going through fits of rage, violent tendencies, self-doubt, depression, acted out. And we go back 20 years, we go, remember in 2017 when Rob Gronkowski, now in the Hall of Fame, threw 265 pounds into the back of that guy's skull, face down on the ground? That couldn't have helped. What Gronk did was the dirtiest thing in the NFL this season, and he got one game. And let me just spin it this way. Let's say that hit happened to a quarterback. Let's say that hit happened from a defensive player onto a quarterback. So let me give you the possibility on the opposite side of this. Let's take Shaq Lawson to the Buffalo Bills. And let's say he's been speed rushing, edge rushing Tom Brady in that same exact game all day long. Shaq Lawson comes around the edge and he's held. Shaq Lawson tries to swim move, and he's face masked. Shaq Lawson tries to go low, or a bull rush, held, dragged down, pulled down. Let's say on a play inside the red zone, Shaq Lawson comes around the edge, is held, face masked, and dragged down, but somehow gets one hand onto Tom Brady's foot to make Brady fall, but Brady can get the ball out and hits Rob Gronkowski in the end zone for a touchdown. And Shaq Lawson gets up and is so furious that he has been held, that he's been dragged out in face masks all game. He looks at Brady on the ground, sees the touchdown scored by Gronk, and he takes his 265 pounds and slams his shoulder into Brady's helmet, smashing Brady's head off of the field turf. Brady leaves the game with a concussion. What do you think Shaq Lawson gets? Think he gets one game? But what, the life of Tom Brady is more important than Tre'Davious White because he's Tom Brady? It's the dirtiest play in the NFL this season, and Gronk gets one game. It's a double standard. It's a total double standard. It is the scummiest, most disgusting play of the football season. And again, because Gronk is the lovable lug nut, the guy that gives you noogie, The funny guy that chugs a beer, burps, and then dances. Well, you know, no priors. Well, you know, he's a good guy. There would be a national incident if a defensive player did that to Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Matt Ryan. If that player took his shoulder and pile drove it into the back of a quarterback's helmet on the ground as he laid prone, the guy would be done for the rest of the regular season and maybe the postseason as well. That's a 4-game suspension if that happens to a quarterback, no? But for Tre'Davious White and Gronk, well, 1 game, and then Gronk's going to appeal. Nice look. Great look. And then after the game, showing so much contrition, he says, well, they were holding me every game, every play. They always hold me. Can we play that clip from yesterday? They're holding me all game. Nice contrition. So Gronk's going to be back for that Steelers game. And that's the only thing that matters because the Patriots are going to end up whomping the Dolphins even without Gronkowski.
I just don't understand why there wasn't a flag. And just through that, and there was a couple times in the game, and they're calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration. And that's what happened.
Dopey. Dope. Oversized, grown, dope. Whereas what happens if that Shaq Lawson on Tom Brady?
He's suspended for the rest of the season by, you know, 5 games. And if the Bills made the playoffs, probably wild card weekend. There's obviously a different set of rules. Obviously.
He definitely gets the full month, doesn't he?
Oh, for sure. Now, I think it's more than Tom Brady. I think that's most quarterbacks that happens to, and there's definitely a double standard. But we're talking about this guy, and Shaq Lawson is labeled for the rest of his career as the guy who did that to Tom Brady and a dirty player. A week from now, we'll just laugh at Gronkowski smashing beers against his head.
That's right. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. It is a Trash Tuesday, so do some trashings with us. Hit us up on the phones or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll read through your trashes coming up here at 40 minutes past the hour. We've got the LaVar Ball rule at UCLA and the Lakers. We've got LaVar Ball pulling his kid out of UCLA. And we've got LaVar Ball going on national TV to discuss all of it. Never ends with him, huh? We'll discuss the ramifications next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
You are Luigi from Super Mario Brothers.
That's right. He gets no respect.
That's very true.
He gets no respect. It's always the sidekick. The sidekick gets no respect. Robin.
It's all
about Luigi.
The first person ever to say it's all about Mario. It's never about Luigi. Enough. One of the 12 DAs of Christmas that were stuck in the chimney as we have counted down some of the moments that didn't make the list. That was the day that Katie Linedahl was in studio right before Halloween and Pete the Body Bellotti dressed up as Luigi because Luigi gets no respect, which you just have to feel like there's a subliminal Mraz is Mario, everything's always about Mario, and Bellotti feels like Luigi. And Linedahl actually is going to join us in studio tomorrow to deliver some holiday gift ideas, which is always important. I've tried to think of gifts, and I'm just coming up with nothing. Just nothing. So I think Katie will definitely help. Can't hurt. I'm on zero as it is anyway. We'll get to Trash Tuesday coming up here in a couple of minutes, we'll get it to about 38 or 39 past the hour. So hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. You know my feeling on LaVar Ball? I think it's a lot of noise. to discuss LaVar Ball at any length is just playing into his hands. He's just Skip Bayless-ing all of us, saying outrageous things that we pay attention. So I'm not really all interested in talking about what LaVar Ball says. What he says and what he does in his own time, not that big a deal. What is interesting, at the very least, is what he actually physically does with his kids, because his kids are athletes that we cover. Lonzo Ball has had an up-and-down rookie season in Los Angeles with the Lakers, and the Lakers are now instituting the LaVar Ball rule, which means members of the media are not allowed to congregate in a section of the arena among family and associates of players after games. LaVar Ball was using this congregation area to have the cameras follow him and to do interviews and to have microphones in front of him. And it has become kind of a traveling road show. And the Lakers are saying, media can't be here with the family because we don't want the media interviewing the family. As you might imagine, this is not that big a deal with the rest of players, because nobody needs to talk to Brandon Ingram's uncle. But more importantly now, he pulls his middle son, LiAngelo, out of UCLA. Felt like UCLA was being unfair to LiAngelo by suspending him and two other players indefinitely for their shoplifting in China. And LaVar said, quote, I'm not sitting back and waiting. He wasn't punished this bad in China. We get back over here, the consequences were even stiffer than there. So basically, they're in jail here. So he pulls him out of the UCLA program and says, I'll get him prepared better for the NBA draft than even UCLA can. And this is what's really interesting. LiAngelo Ball's not getting drafted. He's not on anybody's draft list. From a basketball standpoint, LiAngelo Ball kind of doesn't matter. LiAngelo Ball is part of a parade of ball kids that all got offers to go to UCLA because UCLA really wanted Lonzo. And if they got the best kid, Lonzo, and it looked like LaMelo, the youngest, could be really good as well, then they would easily take on the middle child just to make sure that they got the other two. But LiAngelo's not very good. LiAngelo wasn't as highly touted as Lonzo or his younger brother. So LiAngelo wasn't going to play much anyway this season, even if he did not shoplift from designer stores in China. So this is what's interesting about this. LaVar is going to insist that he's going to get LiAngelo Ball prepared for the NBA draft, but nobody in the NBA believes that LiAngelo Ball is going to get drafted. So this is the great experiment from LaVar. See, the problem with LaVar is you can't pin him down to prove that he is wrong, because he's just defiant in the face of that criticism and insists that he's got the facts and you don't. You can't pin him down. LaVar, you couldn't beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. Well, we can't prove it. In his mind, he can. At least he says that. And so he ultimately wins. He sounds like a boo, but he doesn't care. If LiAngelo Ball doesn't get drafted in the NBA, and there's only two rounds of the NBA draft, and LiAngelo's not going in either one of those, he will have not played all season in college basketball and will have the stain of this Chinese incident hanging over him. He's not going to get drafted. So LaVar Ball is going to push his chips to the middle of the table and say, I'm pulling him out and I'll get him ready for the draft better than they can, but he's not going to get drafted. If this ends up where LiAngelo is a complete bust and never plays basketball again, I mean, maybe I guess he could play in an international league. Can't play in the Chinese league. But he plays somewhere overseas. LaVar can then say, see, I got him ready for a pro career. But if LiAngelo never plays basketball again, because LaVar says he's not transferring anywhere, then it will be the first obvious evidence that, hey, man, you messed up. And ultimately, that's the only thing that's important here, is that LeVar is now just playing God with his sons' careers and their basketball livelihoods, and that's just not the cool thing. I don't care what he says. I don't care what his brags are about or his boasts are about, because anybody can say anything in 2017. We have a president that does this all the time. Say whatever. Tweet whatever. It's the culture we live in. It's the reality we live in. So I'm not all that bothered by that. It's just unfortunate that we've got a father of three basketball players who's going to play God with their careers. It worked for Lonzo. It certainly doesn't feel like it's working for LiAngelo. And you have to also wonder for UCLA if they feel like they made a deal with the devil. We got 1 year out of Lonzo, a headache with LiAngelo, and who knows about LaMelo. So far, it sounds like LaMelo's still going to go to UCLA, but are they going to say, you know what, we're done here, no more of this ball nonsense? Or is LaVar going to say, no, LaMelo's going somewhere else? It's kind of this never-ending problem, I think, for UCLA. You made the bed, now you got to sleep in it. You dance with the devil, and now he's around all the time, making your life a living hell all of the time. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Next hour, we'll talk about Marvin Lewis and how much longer he can be the head coach in Cincinnati after last night. I'll tell you, last night was a ferocious game, a brutal game, a violent game in many ways, and makes me wonder if that's the type of game, even taking out the injury to Ryan Shazier and whatever the probability, let's just hope he gets back and healthy from a walking standpoint and a health standpoint, let alone playing football this season. But if that's the type of game that the Steelers have always played in this rough-and-tumble AFC North that just takes a chunk of flesh out of you going into the playoffs. I mean, the Steelers right now should be prepping themselves for this big game against the Patriots in 2 weeks. And instead, they've got to come off a brutal game like that last night, a vicious game like that, lose Ryan Shazier, and on top of it, have to prepare for the Baltimore Ravens next up, and then get the Patriots, and then worry about the playoffs. I think it's one of the reasons the Steelers only, and I use only in air quotes because only is relative here, but three Super Bowls in the Ben Roethlisberger era. Because they've been good enough to go to more. And I think they just end up going through this gauntlet of the AFC North every year with two games against the Ravens and two games against the Bengals. And that is four games that other teams in the AFC just never have to deal with. Patriots never have to deal with those types of games, ever. Maybe one a year if in the regular season they face the Steelers or the Ravens. But I think there'd be more Super Bowl appearances on that mantle in that trophy case in Pittsburgh if they didn't have these types of games four times annually. I think it really takes a toll on them going into the playoffs. And then a team like the Patriots, the opposite, I think they skate into the playoffs and they've barely broken a sweat getting there. When we come back, Trash Tuesday, boys and girls. So hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS if you've got some trashings to carry out, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Trash Tuesday next.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You're listening to the DA Show. Boom shakalaka.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
37 minutes past the hour. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's a Trash Tuesday, boys and girls. So anything that you want to take out the trash on, things you want to vent on, let me know. You can call me up right now. We'll take your phone calls in this segment at 855-212-4CBS, person, places, things. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS, and I'll read them on the air. It's time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
This has kind of been something I've been sitting on for a while, but now it's directly affecting my life today.
Yeah.
I'm trashing these gender reveal parties. It's got to end. It has to end at some point.
Does it, though?
Yeah, here's the thing with having a baby. We're going to be there. If you're close enough to get invited to one of these gender reveals, chances are when the baby is born, you're either going to visit the mother and baby in the hospital, or you're going to visit it at home very soon thereafter it is brought home.
Mm-hmm.
Then, depending on what religion you are, you will go to some sort of christening or whatever and do that. Then there's the first birthday. Then there's the commenting on the Facebook videos with baby's first steps. Then there's the second birthday. These gender reveal parties are like when the NFL made Thursday Night Football every single week. It's just too much. And now today I am invited to one at 6 p.m. And because of football season, I blow off any and all family functions on Saturdays and Sundays.
Gotta do it.
Because I find them disrespectful to have, quite frankly, in our football season.
It's disrespectful.
And now my freaking cousin's husband, who works weekends, so now Tuesday apparently is the only day he's available, we get hit with a 6 p.m. gender reveal party invite today. And now everybody expects me there because they know I'm on the radio and the show ends at noon.
Yeah.
And they know my schedule and they know there's no football. They think I'm going to be there. So now, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because this is ridiculous. What am I going to go there? So you pop a couple pick balloons out of the box? And then there's this Facebook invite where it's telling you to vote on what you want. Here's an idea. How about we just vote on having a healthy baby? Who the heck cares if it's a boy or a girl? I know I don't care. I know everybody invited really doesn't care. This is just another look at me moment, and I'm tired of it. These gender reveals got to end. They're the stupidest thing going.
You've been trashed.
Number one, I agree with you. I like that take a lot. Number two, I also love how you basically make Trash Tuesday specifically for all of your family. Every week, it's you trashing another member of your extended family.
Because it just never ends with nonsense.
Your family sounds like it's really making you very bitter.
I'm very bitter. And that's the other thing. The party's supposed to take place at 6 o'clock. Little birdie on the inside of this party tells me the gender reveal actually won't happen until 7:45 p.m.
Oh, come on.
What are we doing for an hour and 45 minutes? Sitting around eating half a wrap? Voting on what we want the kid to be? Take a hike. I'm sitting this one out.
That's too long a pregame to have.
Yeah. I mean, what is this, the Super Bowl?
So will you go?
I am really hovering on not going, and I think I might fake sick. Yeah, I don't want to get anybody sick. She's pregnant. Can't get anybody sick.
Will they know that you said this on the air?
Only if you decide to post it later on Facebook, which I hope doesn't happen.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
All right, I'm trashing something I've really been passionate about for a long time.
And you're usually passionate about Trash Tuesday.
Yes, it's news people that do sports stories. I am so sick of people mispronouncing and not knowing what the hell they're talking about.
Okay.
I am tired of it. I don't go and do a news story and say Israel or Palestine. I will talk about everything and know about it. News people should know about the sports stories that they're doing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be up there like they have no idea. And then they try that banter, that friendly banter, and they have no idea what they're talking about. Learn a story, get a clue. I'm tired of these news people doing sports.
Taking out the trash.
Is there a specific story you heard that really bothered you?
Well, a few years ago when we lost
Gary. This is simmering.
Yeah. When Gary Carter passed away a few years ago, everyone said he was a pitcher. I had three stories, people saying he was a pitcher. He's a catcher, Hall of Fame catcher. Get your facts straight.
That's a bad mess up right there.
Oh, damn right it is.
I did not hear the series of stories referring to Gary Carter as a pitcher.
And they don't like Roy Rogers either.
And D, I mean, thank God that you came along to give Pete this outlet
for
years of rage building up. Weekly, he can just finally get it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He's been simmering on these takes for years.
Seriously, is there an untrash Thursday where he can thank you for this?
All right, Bogus, who are you trashing?
Well, I apologize to you. First of all, you might have been bothered by my string of sun pictures on Instagram because my son turned 4 yesterday. So it might have been a tough weekend for you. I know how much you hate those pictures.
I don't think you're in my algorithm anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm still following
enough.
You, but I don't get a lot of the bogus pictures.
Okay, that's fair. That's probably good. So somebody's listening on Instagram right. To save us the fight. But so Sunday, the family came over, and I had set up my morning between pretending to go to the gym, shower, haircut, beer run to be home by 1 o'clock to have like 90 minutes of uninterrupted football before the family came over to hang out with my son. My wife, as I'm about to be done, goes, I forgot something, can you go to the supermarket? Okay, no big deal. Go to the supermarket, here's where the trash begins. Oh. I need one thing. I get on the 12 items or less line,
sure.
And the dude in front of me, I counted, he's got 17.
Ooh.
This is a problem that goes on everywhere that has to be ended.
You can deal with 13, even 14, but 17 is too much.
You can. I can.
That's
very,
a plus four. That's a plus five.
Simple. Plus one is an issue.
Plus one's an issue.
Someone's got to be in charge here. And to me, it's the person at the register. As you're going through and you go, this is a lot, you got to say, sir, next time you can't be on this line.
So shame him.
Shame him. And I was in a bad mood because I was missing football. I almost said something. As he left, I wanted to be like, you know, he had 17 things.
Yeah.
You got to say something about that. But I didn't. I thought messing with the 40-year-old woman at the register was not worth my time.
If you get a bag of carrots, is that one thing?
Yes.
A bag of apples.
One thing. But 8 jugs of orange juice is 8 jugs of orange
That's
juice.
That's 8 things.
It's not 8, like, items. It's not 8, like, it's categories. They're separate things. Those count individually.
Hmm. You're so trashy.
Real quick question that'll prove whether you're a hypocrite or not. If you get a ticket for driving 70 miles an hour in a 55, are you angry?
That's nothing to do with it, with what I'm talking about.
You're going over the limit.
What's the metaphor there?
The metaphor is he's complaining about people going over the limit at the supermarket.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as driving over the speed limit and getting a ticket.
Well, so you'd be totally fine with somebody online with 30 items and the 12 or less?
Maybe not 30, but guess who in this room always goes to the 12 or less with 17 items or 20 items?
That would be you.
Yeah. Didn't take long to guess that.
That's it. If I see an open register, I'm getting in, getting out.
Well, because, I mean, the thing with you, Mraz, is that you don't really respect other people's needs. It's always about you. You're a very self-involved individual, and you feel like you can bend the rules at all costs.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that take.
All right, that's something.
So that's where we...
Baby steps.
He took it this week.
So that's where we stand.
All right.
Okay. I am trashing. I've got a two-part trash. Number one... Speaking of wanting to say something, I was in the bathroom here at CBS last week, and I'm washing my hands because, of course, as I always mention, you need to wash your hands no matter what you do going in there, but you only need one paper towel. You don't need more than one paper towel. One paper towel will do it to dry your hands. I'm there washing my hands at the sink to the right, and the sink to the left, a guy comes in and spills his coffee into the bathroom sink, and he's washing out his coffee mug into the bathroom sink. And I'm thinking, sir, that is disgusting. I'm washing my hands, and I could be washing my hands in that sink, and now there's hardened coffee stains all around the edge of this. This is not the kitchen sink. This is not the break room sink. This is not the cafeteria sink. You wash it in the break room sink. This is not your where you're doing your dishes. This is a bathroom. It's supposed to be sanitary. What is this? I don't dump my plates of scraped off food into the bathroom sink. And I just felt like this was so oblivious. And I wanted to say, sir, what are you doing? But I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he's in upper management or not. I don't know if he's some type of CEO. And so I said, the last thing I need right now is getting roped into this before the holidays. Then I've got some type of like meeting with HR to go through. I said, I'm not even going to bother here. But we've seen these stains, the coffee stains in the bathroom sink, right? It's disgusting.
I don't get it. I don't get why you treat it like your personal kitchen. It's the same thing to people that shave in there, too.
These people are lazy.
Enough.
These people, they don't believe in other people's
guilty
cleanliness. You spill your coffee in there?
No, I clean out my cereal bowl in there.
Ew!
Yeah.
Why can't you just go a couple more feet down the kitchen?
This is a problem that started. There was a time here where the kitchen was not accessible, and I got in that.
Accessible?
Yeah, the kitchen was under construction for like a little while. There was
it's
no
like 5 years ago.
I know. And now the problem is I haven't broken the habit of.
Oh, you're disgusting.
I'm owning up to it. But I dumped the like cereal grains in the garbage.
Well, that's something.
And then I just rinse out my Tupperware in the sink to limit the amount of like Raisin Bran Crunch debris that's in the actual
hot trash.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm out.
Offensive.
Yeah, that's never complain about people's homework again.
Listen. Him, I'll listen to. You, not so much.
My second trashing comes from the bartender that I had on Saturday. Went out with a couple of friends of mine to go watch the championship games, SEC, ACC, Big Ten. And I asked the bartender for a beer, and he kind of just like ignores me and keeps walking. All right, I guess it's busy, but it's not. Finally comes by again. It's like flagging down a marathoner. I'm like, a beer. Finally, I get the beer. We ask if we can change one of the channels to the other game so we can have them both on. Very upset. We're looking for the Syracuse-Kansas basketball game because we've got a couple of Syracuse alums and a couple of Kansas alums want to watch that with the other TVs on the football on one of the far TVs. Bartender goes, game's not on. It's on ESPN. We know it's on ESPN. This is a pretty big game. We all know this. We want to watch this. He goes, it's not on. I'm looking at my phone right now. It's not on. Sir, I think it's on, but I don't want to, at this point, I don't want to bother because I want another beer after this. So, okay, I'll step away here. Guy comes back, bartender, puts it on his phone, is streaming it on his phone, props the phone on the bar in front of us. Whoa. Now that is a power move. So the guy needs to know that the game is on because the game is streaming on his phone, but somehow thinks that it's not on TV. Doesn't say, here's the game. Doesn't say, here you go. Doesn't say, we'll see what we can do for you. Just props the phone up. I'm like, okay, now we're dealing with a madman. I'm not going to say anything at this point. SEC title game's going on. Power goes out on two TVs. There's a group of Auburn fans behind us. They come up to the bar and they say, hey, the power went off. We're watching the game. He goes, I know. Chill out, man. What's the big deal? I'm like, whoa. Wow. Yikes. All night just trying to, at this point, tiptoe around him. Finally, the other bartender puts the game on, the basketball game. So this guy now furiously takes back his phone, and I can't tell him, told you so. It was on TV, man. Somewhere midway through the shift, he just leaves. Just ghosts. And I guess hands our tab over to the next bartender because the next bartender was much better. But this guy just ghosted. So I feel like either that was his last day on the job and he was quitting and he hated all customers. That job wasn't for him. Maybe something's going on. His girlfriend broke up with him and he's just like, peace out. But I got to say, man, you're in service. I know you're having a bad day, but these are not unreasonable requests here.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
And you've talked about this before, Mraz, going to a sports bar and having the service not know how to put the game on.
Yeah, if you're going to run a sports bar, or at least a bar with TVs, you got to have a bar. Anybody there aware of the big games of the day?
At every shift, there has to be the one person that understands how to put on the remote.
Right, exactly. It always ends up being a fumbling episode. Oh, what TV is that?
And what, you know what channel?
What? If you ask me what channel, that's a bad scene,
what
too.
What game? And they're like sifting through all the guide channels?
That's just as important as knowing how to make a Moscow Mule. I'm sorry.
Just.
It's exactly. Not a bad point, though. You know?
In sports bars specifically.
You know, if... A bad cocktail, mixing a bad cocktail is less of an egregious error than somebody that knows their way around the guide for the sports game you want.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't have it. Absolutely not.
It's a bad situation. Kurt's in Tampa on a Trash Tuesday, listening online to CBSSportsRadio.com. What's going on, Kurt?
I also want to trash the NFL for the way they dealt with it. One game suspension, are you kidding me? You know, like you said earlier, if this had happened to Brady, you know, end of the season, season-ending suspension at the minimum. You know, I just think it was a punk move, and the NFL handled it wrong, and that's all I had for you.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
I agree. He got off light one game. This happened to a quarterback. If a linebacker lit into the back of a quarterback and slammed his face off the turf, causing a concussion, my God, we'd have an inquiry for 2 months. Josh is in Arizona, listening to 94.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Josh, who are you trashing?
DA, I want to trash ignorant, closed-minded Christmas hooligans. You know, those classes think everything is a war on Christmas.
Mm,
like,
yes.
I watched a guy the other day, and they said, Happy holidays, sir. he started grumbling about being a war on Christmas. I'm like, dude, he was giving you a compliment. Just accept it and be kind. Nothing is a war on you. People are just different.
Yeah, the war on Christmas.
Epic trash job.
The war on Christmas people, I don't quite understand. It's like, we live here in New York City and there's a giant Christmas tree that's the size of a skyscraper being put up every single year. And it's like a presidential event. There's a motorcade. There's a huge lighting. There's caroling around it. I mean, we don't light like a 7-story menorah around here. There's no like 150-foot Kwanzaa pole. I mean, so this war on Christmas, I don't know. Everywhere I stand, every special on TV is about Santa Claus. There's one Hanukkah song. One by Adam Sandler. One. Meantime, there's entire channels devoted to Christmas music. Every time I hear there's a war on Christmas, I'm like, I'm living in the wrong place. All I see is Christmas all the time. I go to Walmart or Target in late October, all I see is Christmas trees and Santa Clauses. That's it. Again, I don't see in late October giant menorahs and huge dreidels. I certainly don't see non-Christmas stuff. I only see Christmas stuff all of the time. So I think I'd actually like a place where there's more of a war on Christmas, because at some point in time, there's too much Christmas. Like late October, Christmas music. When Christmas music, the leaves are changing. When we come back, is this the end of Marvin Lewis? Finally!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.